Before we have begun a study where we're asking the big philosophical and theoretical questions that people ask themselves and have been asking themselves for centuries. Questions like, is there a God? Who am I? And what is the purpose of life? Etc., etc., etc. Well, we asked these questions because we discovered that how we answer them shapes the life that you're going to experience. And it shapes the life that you will live. Last week, we looked at the question, is there a God? And we discovered that the preponderance of evidence directs us to the answer, yes, there is a God. So tonight, I want to focus on the next logical question. Since we determined that there is a God, the question is this, what is God like? And since we have an entire 30 minutes, we should be able to show you about this much of what God is like. But I think you'll find that much important. The first thing we have to start with is we have to start with a fresh piece of paper, gang. So get out your outlines and also in your minds, free them up. Start with a fresh piece of paper in your mind because we all have preconceived ideas and plenty of opinions coming at us as to what God is like. But by looking into the Bible, which is where we're going, we will see that not all of those ideas that you've picked up and not all those opinions that come at us are correct. So let's look at it fresh, with no presuppositions. Now, it's probably best to begin by quickly learning God's abilities. We're going to try to study as much as we can tonight. We're looking at a lot of scripture, so take notes. We're going to look at God's abilities, and then you can study these on your own as well. I've left scripture verses there that you can look at this week. And then after we look at God's abilities, we're going to look a little more deeply at God's personality. How God actually uses what he is capable of. That sound good? That's where we're going. First thing about God, first quality, God is eternal. Where do we get that? Psalm 90, verse 2 tells us this. Before the mountains were born, and before you created the earth and the world, you were God. You have always been, and you will always be. Now, this is a difficult concept for us because we are time people. We are people who live in time. Our world as we know it started somewhere, and our world as we know it is going to stop somewhere. So we think everything is that way. We think everything has to have a start and a stop because we're time people. We're in time. God is not. God is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. First trait. Second trait, God is present everywhere. He is with us at all times. Well, where do we get that? Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Here's what the psalmist wrote. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run from you? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, you are there. If I rise with the sun in the east and settle in the west beyond the sea, even there you will guide me. God is everywhere. You can't get away from him. That's not something we made up. It's not a story. It's in the Bible. Third trait, God knows everything. This is Psalm 147, verses 4 through 5. He counts the stars and calls them by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute, his understanding is beyond comprehension. Jesus, later in the New Testament, shows us that God even knows our thoughts. Jesus says in the Bible that Jesus, knowing their thoughts, then acted accordingly. God knows everything, all right? Next one, God is always right. Psalm 11, verse 7, for the Lord is righteous. Righteous means always right, always doing the right thing. So God is always right. Little added thing. Unlike my spouse. Who added that? Who came up here and touched my notes? Who touched my notes? Was that Miss Shanda? Was that you? All right. Well, God is always right. All right. And we'll scratch that other part that somebody, I can't leave this out before the service anymore. All right. Last big capability, ability of God. God has the power to do anything. How do we know that? Genesis 17:1. I'm just giving you one verse reference for each of these. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai," meaning God Almighty. That's what that means. Those are abilities of God, and okay, those are pretty easy to understand. We went through them pretty quick, but they're pretty easy to understand, and they make sense to anyone's thought process of what God should be. I don't think anyone's going to argue that God should be less than any of those. Now, where mankind has gotten a little twisted view of God is this. We know that he's eternal. We know that he's all-powerful. He's ever-present, all-knowing, and he's always right. But it's how God interacts with us where we run into problems. Here's what we need to look at real quick. The makeup of God. Now, the actual makeup of God or God's being is a little bit more abstract for us. Like we talked about being time people and not understanding eternal time or eternal not having time. This is the next thing we're going to have a little trouble with. You see, we live in a world where every being is singular. Every being is to themselves itself. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. A bird is a bird. It's just singular beings. Every being on our earth is singular in its nature. However, God is not a singularly dimensional being. God is comprised of three individual, yet somehow interwoven components. Three distinct individual beings. The Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That is, these three are distinctly individual, but they are somehow also one unbroken being as well. Arguably, the best way that you can look at this is think of it like you would think of water. Water can be steam, it can be a gas. Water can be solid in that it is ice, and it all can be, so it can be a liquid. That helps me kind of think of how the makeup of God is. Is it perfect? No, but it's the best I've got. For God, it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this, in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are one. Now, all that stuff we just talked about. As a boy, I really didn't struggle over those. I really didn't struggle over these foundational truths of God. To tell you the truth, I thought, if there's a God, that's what he ought to look like. That's what he ought to be. He ought to be all-powerful. God ought to be ever-present, all-knowing, eternal, all-powerful, and somehow he should have a different makeup than what I have. So I got that. But the things that we get wrong are not so much God's capabilities, but how he acts out, how God's personality is. Instead, we get those things wrong about his ability, his personality, and his character. What he gives and what God desires, we don't always get that right. How he acts and why God acts the way he does, those are the areas that we're going to focus on for the rest of the message. Now remember, blank piece of paper here, just seeing who God really is with just nothing but biblical facts. Let's go back to the beginning on the first personality trait of God. This is from Genesis 3, 8, and 9. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Now this passage is interesting in that we see God walking in the Garden of Eden, seeking out man. God is coming to have a visit with man. Notice that the interaction, notice that the contact is not initiated by man. Man doesn't try to find God. Instead, it's initiated by God. God walks the earth to meet with man and to be with man and to relate with man and woman. Don't get me wrong. First trait of God. God is relational, gang. Now, you hear this all the time. You'll hear the saying, you can have a personal relationship with God. You hear that all the time. What that means is that this all-powerful, ever-present, all-knowing God wants to know you thoroughly. And he wants to be thoroughly known by you. This enormous God who made every star and designed every solar system cares about the intricate details of our lives, each one of us individually. Like he walked the Garden of Eden seeking to be with Adam and Eve, he seeks you out as well. And he does this with the intent of knowing you and having you know him. He is the friend who listens and cares about every step of our day. He is the companion who laughs with us and cries and hurts with us. He wants to hear the dreams that we dream about, and he wants to hear the hopes we hope for. And in that relationship, he wants us to listen to what he cares about. He wants us to listen to and be his companion, that we would laugh and that we would cry and hurt over the same things that make him do those things. He wants us to hear the dreams that he has for our lives. The dreams that he dreams for us, he wants us to embrace. And the hope that he's hoping for us, he wants it to become our hope. You see, gang, God being a relational being teaches us that you cannot be inconsequential to God. You cannot be. Jesus showed us so clearly. Remember, if you've seen God, Jesus, you've seen the Father. He showed us so clearly by loving beggars, by loving the outcasts, by loving the sick, the poor, the overlooked. He is a relational being, and he wants a relationship with you. It's God's character to engage in our lives and to have us engage in his life. Now, I've met many followers of God, including myself. Not all, but many of us who share a similar event in our life. It's an event where, after accepting God's gift of forgiveness, God will send a time of aloneness. For me, it was a few years of really not having many friends. And instead, I just had a front porch, a guitar, a porch swing, and a Bible. And every summer night, you'd find me sitting on that porch swing, playing my guitar, talking to God, listening to him as he spoke to me through the Word of God, the Bible. Well, now, as I almost turn, I'll be turning 50 in January, I can say that time was my most powerful relational time that I had with God. It was invaluable. He was my best friend because he was my only friend. He was my teacher because I wasn't listening to anybody else. He was my hope for the future and all that it held when I had nothing. He's not an imaginary friend. He's a creator. He's a sustainer of the universe, and he's the part of the universe that's interested in you. He's interested in getting involved with you and knowing your life and having you know him. The misconception of God is that you don't matter to him. That's the misconception, that he doesn't care anything about you. Well, the truth is, Jesus showed us God is dying to meet you. That's just who he is from the Word of God. No presupposition. Trait one, God is relational. He is a people person. Let's look at trait two. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Trait two of what God is like is that God is the perfect parent. The perfect parent, our Father. Gang, parenting is tough. Any of you who have children know that's a pretty easy statement. Yeah, parenting is tough. And being a perfect parent is impossible. But it is exactly who God is. The perfect parent. I helped a friend last week do some research on parenting. He interviewed me, and we talked about a lot of interesting things, and my friend grilled me. He grilled me about raising my children. nurturing them, correcting them, encouraging them, having the proper perspective on guarding them, and also how to release them. Now, it didn't take long for us to see that it takes an awful lot of thought and effort and sacrifice to be a good parent. We looked at sacrificing for the child's betterment, listening to the interests and listening to the child's observations and feelings, shepherding the heart, getting the child to see and understand and then ultimately embrace healthy, functional decision-making and healthy, functional actions. Talked about modeling, how parenting involves modeling a proper life for them to see how they are to live. And lastly, establishing possibility in their hearts to let them know you can. Well, gang, God's relationship with us is that He is our perfect Father with a selfless Father's heart. Now, whether we had a Father who did all these things for us or whether we had a Father who got all these wrong, God tells us He wants to be our Father. Sacrificing for the child's betterment, God does that. He gave His Son to make it better for us. Listening to their interests and observations, knowing our feelings, He wants us to speak to Him through prayer. Shepherding their heart, getting them to see and ultimately understand and embrace healthy functions, functional decision-making and actions. God does that. He'll lead us. He will put us through trials. He will do everything He can to get us to understand, this is why I've asked you to do that, because it's good for you. It's best for you. Modeling a proper life. He sent His Son to show us, here's how to live. You want to know how to live? Live like Jesus. Just be like Jesus. That's it. That's simple. Be like Jesus. Not the miracles, not the raising people from the dead, but the kindness, the devotion to God, the love, the humility, the mercy, all those things. He modeled a proper life for us, and He has established possibility in our hearts, and He wants to establish possibility in your heart. You are not a nothing. You are not a zero. You are not someone who can't. You are someone who can, because God can do anything. And if you've got Him, He certainly can have you do the thing He wants you to do. If He wants you to hand out 10 magnets, He will make you hand out 10 magnets because He's all-powerful. If He wants you to get into a certain school, you'll get in. If He wants you to become a certain thing, you will. He wants you to be a parent, you will. Possibility is what God puts in our hearts because God can do anything. With Him, all things are possible. And He wants us to know that because He is our Father. Next trait. This is a little bit longer, this passage. I think we're going to do this in 3 slides, Ms. Shanda. At dawn, He appeared again at the temple courts. This is Jesus. Where all the people gathered around Him and He sat down to teach them. Now the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" Now, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. And when they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, He stooped down, wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman standing still there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir. Neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin." Trait 3, God is forgiving. In this exchange, Jesus, God, is forgiving and non-condemning. Now, earlier in this book, earlier in the book of John, Jesus meets a woman who has been divorced 5 times. 5 times been divorced, and Jesus is forgiving and non-condemning to her, instead encouraging her to follow him and to live a life that obeys God. Let me ask you a question. What do you think God's attitude is towards people who divorce their spouse multiple times? What do you think God's attitude is? And the second question, what do you think God's attitude is towards people who are involved in sexual sin? What do you think his attitude is? Well, before you answer, according to the Bible, God's attitude in Jesus is to be forgiving and non-condemning. Now, does that mean that Jesus is cool with people doing these things? No. He emphatically tells this woman who's at his feet, go and leave your life of sin. But he is forgiving and non-condemning and showing them the way to functional life, life to the full. Gang, if we had not started with a clean piece of paper, I think a lot of us would have had these words about God on our page. I think before we look at what the Bible has to say, we think God is harsh. We think God is mean, unforgiving, condemning, that he's critical, and that he's impossible to please. But that is not the God we have seen in the pages in front of us. Gang, I told you that we would only be able to look at this much of God tonight. But your Bible study doesn't need to end here. You can continue this week. I have included on your outline some extra Bible verses for you, another study for you to look at. I included where you can look at why God is just in 2 Kings, looking at God's patience in Romans and 2 Peter, and looking at God's mercy in Genesis. I'm going to ask the band to come back and our worship leaders, and as we close out our night tonight, as we close out visiting with God, I wonder if maybe some of us here tonight have given God a raw deal. Maybe some of us have thought that God, some of those words we saw before, harsh, mean, unforgiving, maybe we even passed that on. And maybe tonight would be the night to talk to him and say, you know what, God? I'm starting to see you for who you really are. I'm starting to see that you're there, and I'm starting to see that you love me and care about me and want to know me and want to show me how to live life to the full. I'm starting to see that. Well, maybe tonight's the night you need to say that to him. I'm going to ask you to think about those things as we do one last worship song together. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you that you are who you are. And I'm sorry. And we ask for your forgiveness for where we've gotten that wrong. I pray that you'd help us to continue to learn about you, that it's a lifelong journey. But I pray that we would start getting some things right that we haven't gotten right up until now. Lord, help us to be relational with you, to speak to you and know that you care about the details of our life, and help us to care about the things you care about and to know about your life, your adventure, and to be part of it. Thank you for being our daddy who loves us. When we make mistakes, you don't love us any less. Thank you for caring for us, take care of our needs, and thank you for loving us and protecting us and sacrificing for us. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who wants to make us your child. Lord, I pray that you'd take us and turn us into what you want us to be, and take us this week and help us to be what you want us to be. Let us leave this place different than when we came in. And Lord, if there's anyone who hasn't connected with you, hasn't embraced you, I pray that you'd have them come to me, and I would be happy to to introduce you to them. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands, knowing it's the best place to be. Thank you for 9 years, and I pray that as we start year 10, we would please you and that your kingdom would be advanced. In Jesus' name, amen.